Well, that is true. Your best days are ahead, and we're excited about what God is doing in our life as a church family, but also in your life individually. And so today, if you happen to be taking notes, good. All right, good. Come on, pat yourself on the back, you spiritual people, you. No, I'm teasing. If you are, though, taking notes, get our minds moving in a direction. I want to talk to you about a faith-filled future. All right, I want to invite you to say it, whether you really feel it or not. Say, I have a faith-filled future. Come on, a faith-filled future. All right, so I'm going to be talking about a faith-filled future today. I see God in your future. I see things working out. I see you succeeding, not failing, not falling apart. Depression, it's not your portion, right? Anxiety, it's just a moment. You're heading into a great season. God has a remarkable future for your life. I want to pause and bring up a verse that came to me this morning. It literally, in my morning studies and reading and prayer, it jumped out. And then I'll also tag into my notes that have been previously prepared. You'll be happy to know before this morning. Thank God. Okay. But Psalm chapter 16, verse 9. Now in the Message translation, David says, I've pitched my tent. Where is it? In the land of hope. Do you think about that? I've pitched my tent in the land of hope. How many campers do we have? Come on, anybody like camping? All right, how many of you? Let me do a quick poll. Let's have some fun. How many of you hate camping? Okay, all right. I knew my wife's hand would be. She's like, can I just in case Paul forgets? I hate it. Camping is important. And how many of you know where you pitch your tent determines the experience you receive over the weekend or over the week or on the vacation? Come on, somebody. A bad tent experience equals just a bad time altogether. A month before Kelly and I were engaged in the summer of 2006, it was a hot, humid, disgusting Florida summer day. And my family had invited other family to have a reunion of sorts in the area of Central Florida called Itchituckney. And a month before our engagement, I made a big mistake. I said, why don't we bring Kelly along with us? And so Kelly and I met some of our family in Florida. We were also meeting my uncle and his family, who years ago as well had immigrated from South Africa. So it was a great big get-together with purpose. And my parents had gone out of the way to just set Kelly up for success. And so they rented a small cabin for her to spend the night in, and I spent the night in the camper. Kelly and I have dramatically different memories of this particular trip. She had the luxurious cabin across the road, but what I did not know at the time is that Kelly had a little fear going on in her life, and she left the flashlight on overnight next to her bed. And the flashlight has a gift. It lights up everything in the cabin, but not only that, it also attracts everything from the woods. And she didn't get a lick of sleep, and she let me know in the morning. How could I do this to her? You know, no, I'm kidding. She didn't. She marriage was on the line. No, I'm kidding. It wasn't that bad. But I will tell you, it was spooky. She had one solo flashlight where the batteries ran out. I think she said she got to bed at 4, so she slept a solid 3.5 hours, which is plenty when you're spending time with my family. You don't mean no trust. And she was ready. But I simply bunked up in the camper. I rolled over on my side, And I went to sleep, slept the night away. Two totally different experiences, everything to do with where we made camp. Where are you making camp in your life? David said, I've pitched my tent in the land of hope. I've got good news for you. If you've pitched your tent in the land of fear, if you've pitched your tent in the land of difficulty, if you've pitched your tent in the land of disappointment or bitterness, I've got good news for you. Jesus invites you to pitch your tent in the land of hope. Have you ever asked yourself, well, what if it does work out? Have you ever asked yourself if, you know, what if my best days are ahead of me? Can I tell you, there's been countless times along this journey as a church where I've had to wrestle some things to the ground in my heart. And each time the Holy Spirit would whisper to me, Paul, pitch your tent in hope. And we have a nice argument because I like explaining the facts. I like explaining sometimes why it's not going to work out. But every time I come to the Holy Spirit, he says, I think it's going to work out. I think I'm in your future. I think I'm faithful to my promises. I think I won't let you down. I think there's no place your foot can tread where I will not go with you. David invites us, I encourage us today, to be a people who pitch our tent in the land of hope. Life has a way through disappointments, through difficulties, through unmet expectations, for really long, exhausting prayer requests that don't come through. Life has a way of beating us down. God invites us to lift our eyes. There's a promise over your life. There's a promise over your family. There's a promise over you as an individual. There's a promise over you, those of you that are married. There's a word over your marriage, over your family, over your life. Cycles that maybe you had inherited, they don't have to be your portion because you get to pitch your tent in the land of hope. Beautiful picture from David that we get as he describes, guess what? I've pitched my tent in the land of hope. Where we pitch our tents is what we experience. In scriptures, I want to draw our attention to Numbers chapter 13. We're going to spend a few moments today learning from the life of a man named Joshua. If you're new, not only to church, but maybe to the Bible, Joshua was an incredible man of God. Incredible man of God. You've heard of Moses. In fact, I was sharing with Kelly, everybody knows about Moses. But not everybody remembers. Hey, by the way, Joshua, I think if he would hear, he'd say, hey, don't forget, I actually got him into the promised land. I think him and Moses kind of poke fun at each other a little bit up in heaven. Because Moses would be the deliverer that would set Israel free from the bondage of Egypt. Remember the Red Sea parting. Remember water from a rock. I mean, remember these miracles, signs, and wonders marked Moses' life. Well, he got them into the wilderness. There's one particular point in the story in Numbers chapter 13. If you've ever wondered what the book of Numbers is about, just read the title, Numbers. It is literally list after list after list. If you've ever gone through the one-year Bible, Numbers and Leviticus, your most challenging books of the Bible when you're trying to get through it all. It's list after list after list. But they're important, and scattered throughout them is a display of the story of Israel, but not only the story of Israel, the story of our God. Here we see that in this particular story, Israel, who had been in bondage for 400 years, had been miraculously delivered from God. But notice, God invites them to a partnership. Just like God invites us to a co-mission. Our vision as a church is reaching people, building lives, reach, build, repeat. We believe in vision. But one of the things, if you have never noticed this, is you can't just pray. God always invites us to pray, but then walk by faith. Partner with him. God, what's my role? What's my part to play? So in Egypt, Israel had to work out. Man, I'm going to make the move to get out. I'm going to leave my sins behind. I'm going to leave my cycles behind. I'm going to leave my brokenness behind. God has set me free. And here's what some of you may add some input to your life. You step into a bit of a wilderness. And Israel stepped into a wilderness. And Numbers 13, I don't think was intended to be such a pivotal part of their story, but it became a pivotal part of their story because two groups of people made two different decisions. One group of people pitched their tent in hope. Another pitched their tent in facts. Numbers 13, Moses gathers the tribes and he says, pick for me one man, one spy from each tribe. Let's go check out the promised land. Let's go visit these promises of God. Let's see how faithful God is and what the land looks like. They hadn't been in this region before. Again, they've been in Egypt. They've been in slavery. They've been in bondage. They've been chained, working without a break, without rest, without a Sabbath. And God leads them into the wilderness. He starts healing their soul. He starts restoring their vision, starts declaring future over their disappointment. And Israel begins, hope begins to rise. They begin to get their hopes up. So Moses knows that the time's right. Let's send him out. And what does he do? He gets a leader from every tribe, all of the 12 tribes. He sends them across to visit the promised land. And they go visit. And I mean, everything has miracle grow. I mean, the grapes are the size of heads of people. He said, it's flowing with milk and it's flowing with honey. It's absolutely incredible. And so they go on this journey and they make their way back into the wilderness, into that land, and it's time for them to give a report to Moses. 12 spies and 10 of them declare the facts, and 2 of them declare the promises of God over their life. If you've ever found yourself hanging onto a promise, if you've ever found yourself believing for a miracle, trusting God for a vision, and wondered, why are the negative voices so loud? Well, take some odds from Scripture. 10 said, nah. 2 said, let's go. The negative voices can oftentimes be so loud. The enemy of your soul wants to thwart every promise God has made over your life. He's relentless. He will use discouragement. He will use disappointment. He will use unmet expectations any way he can. The enemy woke up ready to go this morning to whisper a lie and thought, man, can I capture them today? Amen. Good segue. No, you can't. Why can't you? Because I'm going to be like the 2. I've pitched my tent in hope. Therefore, my heart is set on things above, that no weapon, no lie, no wielding of the enemy will capture my soul, because I'm a person that trusts the word of God, that trusts the word of Jesus, and I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And sometimes we have to remind ourselves, draw close to the word of God. And like Joshua, who was portioned and appointed by God to lead these people, you've been portioned and appointed by God to step in to his promises over your life. I know the voices are loud. I know the fear. Man, it's baiting you. The lies of the enemy whisper, come on, hear me. He's called the father of lies. He's not called the father of bad jokes. That's me. He's not called something subtle. No, Jesus says, let me just call this out. Father of lies. Bada bing, bada boom, shut your face. That's Jesus. Jesus' ministry could be summed up, man, I am here to destroy the works of the enemy. That's Jesus' mission. I've come to seek and to save the lost. Jesus would have compassion. He would come and heal, but also he would break the demonic lies that would be over people's lives. It's important because he's so subtle, man. He's so cunning. And he comes and he whispers and he does like the 10. He just comes and he just points out the facts. Come on, if you ever have a promise, but you've got some problems from the previous promise, you're struggling to believe for the future, he just points out the mistakes, just points out the disappointments. He just points out the letdowns. So there you are singing the goodness of God, and you're covering every unmet prayer, you know? Maybe I'm the only one. No, I'm kidding. But you know what he does? He's so subtle, and he comes with a lie. He's disguised as the angel of light. It says it in Scripture. But he's the father of lies. I wonder if we are listening to anything. I pray we're not, but I wonder. It's time to have our guard up. Numbers. I was preaching. I've got a passage. Numbers 13. There we are. Numbers 13, verse 27. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Okay. I'm convinced. All of Israel bought in. Yeah, wow, well, that doesn't sound like what we had hoped. I thought it was just going to be easy. Man, I thought, you know, I got on Facebook the other day and it just looked like everybody's getting everything they want. It's just getting handed to them. It's just a breeze. Nobody has any struggles. I look at my friends and, man, they're getting new jobs. I look at my family, man, they're getting promotions. It seems like every prayer request I have. And so we can find ourselves repeating, rehearsing. The people of Israel became completely convinced by the spies' report. But there was also a different report than what they had heard or seen. And in Numbers 14, 7 through 9, we hear of the two spies who were full of faith and believed the promise of God, Joshua and Caleb. Side point, they were the only two to make it into the promised land. Doubt, disappointment, and fear. We got to be careful where we pitch our tent. If we pitch it in faith, I believe we can step in to all that God has said. Numbers 14, 7 through 9. The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. And their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. So the 10 spies report, Joshua and Caleb, man, they had elevation worship blaring in the background. The mood was set. They had a guy on keys. He was playing the organ. People were clapping. It was all pumped up. They gave their speech, but yet the people responded in verse 10. But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. Beautiful. Wow, I'm filled with faith, even as they say it. Listen, God's got a promise. God has purposed over your life that he goes before you. He goes before you. He makes a way in the wilderness. He makes springs come up in dry ground. But he's looking for us to partner by faith with his promises over our lives. And certainly it doesn't mean everything always goes our way every moment of the day. Certainly it doesn't mean that every expectation he meets immediately. No, I don't know how else to say it other than everyone's faith has been tested through this book. Everyone's faith is tested. There's something that didn't happen or a difficulty that occurred, but yet they rise up and they stand firm. I want to declare that's your portion as well. You don't have to believe the noise. You don't have to believe the lies. You don't have to believe the whispers of the enemy. Faith doesn't follow our feelings. It holds to the word of God and the promises over our life. Come on, let's just be real. We get ourselves praying for a kid. Come on, you ever prayed for one of your kids? Lord God, when I pray, they seem to go farther and farther away from you. I get more on fire, they go running. Lord, I'm praying for this financial breakthrough. God, I know your word says, and you're quoting. Man, you got the big papers on the wall thing. It's great. You got all your declarations. It's like, man, I'm praying. I'm aiming it. But man, we're going down fast. Can I tell you what that is? It's a test of our faith. It's a test of our faith. Jesus would be tried. Jesus would have trial after trial. In case you've not read the Gospels, everybody wanted to kill him all the time. You'll read this amazing miracle that Jesus, he fed everybody, things are going great. And then he crossed paths with a couple Pharisees. They didn't like what he had to say. And it says the crowd tried to swarm him to push him off a cliff. Like, come on, like, what is that? That is the resistance of the enemy over your life. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. People of faith, which you are one, they've lent into the reality that more are those who are for us than those who are against us. They've stepped into the reality that if God said it, I can believe it. Despite the delay, despite the resistance, I can hold firm on the word of God. I can settle my spirit and rest in the truth of who he is and his word over my life. It's been several times along this journey. For those of you unfamiliar before here, I was in ministry for 10 years in Florida. And all along the ministry path, can I tell you, it's not a ministry path. It's called a life path. God will drop a seed of promise in your life, a whisper from heaven, a truth over your life. And can I tell you, don't be casual. Don't think the enemy's haphazard. He is after that seed with everything he has. But there's good news. God is so much bigger. God is so much greater. God is so much stronger that we can trust him even through the trial, even through the disappointment. Joshua would know this to be true. So a couple quick thoughts from Joshua's life. First thought from Joshua as he is preparing. Joshua 1, they're preparing to go into the promised land. We get the inside scoop on this tremendous intimate conversation that God and Joshua are having. He says, have I not commanded you? Check. Yes, God, you've commanded me. Yes, God, you said that promise. Yes, God, you declared that word. Yes, God, I can stand in faith. Have I not commanded you? And we respond, yes, you have. And then, what does it say? Be strong and courageous. Sometimes when you see something that's there, you have to ask, what is it there for? Moses would be tempted to be weak and not exactly courageous. Joshua would be tempted to be weak and not exactly courageous. And therefore, the Lord says, be strong and courageous. And then it gets better. Don't be terrified. Well, why would God tell you not to be terrified? Because your circumstances are going to terrify you. Oh, that's great. And then what? Do not be discouraged. Because God says, you will be discouraged. The enemy will try to trap you. He's going to bring a disappointment. He's going to bring a failure. He's going to bring some fear. He's going to bring your past back up. Has your past ever whispered to you? You don't have to raise your hand. But has your past ever whispered loudly to your soul? People get in these weird mindsets. I don't know if you've ever found it, but their past whispers so loudly that they experience something and they think, man, I deserve what I'm getting. Now, there is a level of consequence. Let's not lie. You reap what you sow. But the enemy is the father of lies. He can get so twisted that all of a sudden, things that have been covered by the blood of Jesus are no longer covered by the blood of Jesus. That's how Satan, the accuser, works. He wants to have you make a nosedive for sin that God's forgotten about. Don't let the lies of the enemy stop you from the promises of God over your life. And so Joshua's here. The first thought is resist resistance. You're welcome. Resist resistance. I'm so glad you came to church. 5 years, it's amazing. We've had some resistance. I would like to say every email, every phone call, everybody who's walked through these doors, and everybody in the community loves that we're here to share the hope of Jesus and see people walk in freedom. But that's not the case. And you may be amazed that sometimes God whispers a promise of your life and you share it with somebody and they're like, well, that just can't happen. But God doesn't do that anymore. I remember. I almost stopped. It could get ugly. No, I'm kidding. But I remember when we moved up here. We moved up here, had an incredible training. One of the pieces of the training, they were like, look, we're a church planting network and we believe in honor. So I want you going, we want you going into the area and honoring the pastors, the other churches, letting them know you're grateful. You're not the greatest thing at all. You're just the latest thing. You happen to be the most recent church plant. And so I remember I'd meet with people. It was great, man, getting to know what God's doing. God's doing some amazing things in this region. Man, any chance I get, we bless every church. I'm so excited about what God's doing locally. But I remember one particular conversation, was excited, man. I had my Panera gift cards, my handwritten note, like, you know, laid it on real thick by faith. And I walking in and I meet a couple of these pastors, just like, man, so great. And we just shot a little bit, like, what's your background? No. It was good. It was cordial. They were nothing personal. It was great. But they let slide. Why would you come plant a church in a church planting graveyard? And I thought, this may very well be our last conversation. And I left. And I thought to myself, well, no joke, I think I probably just, I said, I'm not receiving that in the name of Jesus. Well-intentioned, well-informed, go figure, they had some statistics from a particular denomination. And I was like, you are not helping my soul at all. I'm just glad I'm not part of your denomination. Amen. But I recognized, listen, what was that man, what was that pastor doing? That pastor was declaring the facts over my future, over your future, over our future. You don't know it yet, but being part of this church or being part of a local church, it shapes the direction of your family for years, for decades, for eternity. And so he wouldn't think anything of it, but just, hey, man, I could go. You know, thanks for the gift cards. I don't know if you know this. Blah, 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 blah. Have you ever experienced some resistance in a time of need? I'm sorry. I'm sorry you have. You come back from the doctor's office and you're a little jittery. You can barely dial the phone. You know, you're just so overcome with panic and nervousness. You're like, all my fears are fulfilled with this one report. That's hard. It's hard. It's difficult. Flood of emotions. The adrenaline is shooting through your fingers. I feel it. I've felt it. I know those moments. I want to tell you, there's some resistance over the promises of your life. There's some resistance. Every believer faces resistance over the promises of their life. The enemy wants nothing more than for shame to get the best of you, disappointment to get the best of you, brokenness to get the best of you, bitterness to reap a harvest in your life. So we position ourselves to resist resistance. Resist resistance. Joshua, you can imagine him and Caleb, they're excited. They're full of faith. And the next line reads, everybody wanted to stone them. Whew. Talk about a rough night. That was a rough night. But talk about God's greatness being on display. It was remarkable. It was remarkable. And I want to tell you, you want to fall on the right side of faith. You want your life's legacy to be on the right side of faith, to be somebody that's trusting God. Listen, you want to position yourself to have believed too big than to have expected too small. To push through disappointment, to push through distraction, and to trust in the promises of God. I'm telling you, God will be found faithful. The child you've been praying for, I have here, will get even more angry. The boss will get more difficult. The job may become more stressful. Your spouse may grow even colder. Your finances may take a hit. Your vision and the mission of God will experience resistance. Resist resistance. Next 5 years over your life are going to be incredible. Next 5 years of this church, y'all, it's about to have some faith up in here. It's remarkable what God's going to do. But I want to tell you, you will face resistance. So grow accustomed to it. Trust God through it. Believe God. Trust Him. Nobody had it easy throughout Scripture. Nobody got everything on a silver plate. But I'm going to tell you, God will work the things out that are nagging you, that are distracting you, that are defeating you. But the choice is yours. Where are we going to pitch our tent? Second here, respond with faith. Respond with faith. Respond with faith. Joshua 1, 7 through 9. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. Encourage people. We're not earning brownie points as we study Scripture. We're not earning brownie points. God loves you so much. You reading this doesn't make Him love Him more. You reading this makes you more aware of how much He actually loves you. It's a subtle but a big switch. It's a small, minor tweak, but it will change the game. If you read this, if you come here thinking, man, I am somehow striving, earning my way into a position in the family of God, let me tell you, that's not how it is. You're already called a child of the living God. He's already on display when you get your fingerprints, right? Not that we get our fingerprints, but hypothetically, when you get your fingerprints, you can see the DNA that's on display. It's unique. It's unlike anything else. God calls you child of God. God whispers to you, child of God. And through studying Scripture, through walking through and journeying through, this just becomes a part of your life. And you don't realize it, but you just begin to respond by faith. Strongholds get broken through time in God's Word, through time in God's presence. You got to be careful. Maybe I feel like somebody needs to hear this. I don't always feel like reading the Bible. Come back next week. It's going to be great. I don't always feel. Y'all may not know this. I wake up tired. I wake up hungry. I wake up. I got weights. I got pressures. I got difficulties. Sometimes I've slept in my bed, and our daughter has come in the room 6 times, which means I woke up once and had to roll over on the other side, but it took a lot out of me, and I was exhausted. My wife was up 6 times, but it affected my sleep. Maybe more true than I should share, but I mean this. A maturing process and somebody growing in their faith, they recognize faith hasn't called me to live by what I'm feeling. It's called me to live by faith, and to trust the ways and the words of God over my life. We live in a society that is all about your happiness. Do what makes you feel happy. Can I tell you? That's not in the Word of God. God has your happiness in mind, but it may mean you got to shut down some of the voices and the words of culture. May mean you have to shut down some of the subtle lies of the enemy over your life. I mean, I've never met somebody that was addicted to any form of substance. And they said, you know what? It actually reached a point where it didn't make me happy. Well, they're all like, it made me pretty happy. It felt pretty darn good. I woke up in places and saw things I could not remember. But they will all say it made me happy. It fulfilled something in my psyche. Can I tell you? God has a way, and it's called Jesus Christ. God has a word. It's called his scripture. And if you will surrender it to him, he will lead you into his promises over your life. It's not the other way around. He said, seek first the kingdom of heaven and all its righteousness. And in due course, these things will be added to you. Again, subtle. If we seek all these other things, we'd land up tacking God on at the end. And God invites us. Come on. We respond with faith. So, hey, it's 5 years. I'm going to try to end quick right now. It's not some of you are like, this message feels about 5 years, bro. All right. So, resist for resistance. Respond with faith. You'll be happy for all the R's. The third is this. Rest in God's abilities, not your own. You can't get where God has called you to go in your own strength. You cannot make it happen. There will be some things that are just scientifically impossible. There will be some things that are just physically impossible. There will be some things in your life that are financially impossible. So what do? You rest. You rest. You say, God, you've got this. God, I can trust you. God, your word says. God, I know you don't need reminding, but just for the sake of things, let me remind you of a few of your promises you said. But I'm going to tell you, God, I'm going to rest. And can I tell you, rest, it's a spiritual atmosphere. And it attracts faith. It attracts peace. It attracts hope. Unrest attracts anxiety, it attracts fear, it attracts oppression and depression. They can't coexist. One of them always kicks the other out. Right? So God calls Joshua, and Joshua knows at the outset, God is all in this. He has to go before me. It's an incredible point in Joshua chapter 10, where there is a battle going on. Moses' arms are growing weak. And so two of his men, two of his leaders, two of his assistants hold his arms up. And it's the strangest thing. You can't scientifically conjure this stuff up. But what we see taking place is that as his arms are raised, the battle would continue to be won. And it reached a point that the sun stood still in the sky, that Israel was able to defeat its enemies. Moses, he didn't pull it out of a hat. He didn't conjure up some magic trick. He just trusted God and obeyed his every word. The same will be true for you. The family member that you're praying for, rest is going to get you the breakthrough. The job, the promotion, and the desire that you're praying for, rest is going to get you the breakthrough. You're praying for your coworkers to find Christ. Amen? You're praying for your family to find Christ. Amen? And you have tried every track possible. You have tried every message. You've tried the subtle jabs. You've done everything you can other than write, you need God on your forehead in a marker. I mean, you've done every Jesus juke known to mankind thinking, I just don't got it. You've been obedient, and now you're just going to trust God. Lord, you will bring the breakthrough in their life. How's it going to happen? It's going to happen by resting in God's abilities. The most active we can be as followers of Christ, the best we can be as followers of Christ, is to take God's word for granted, to take every word and promise he said for granted, and to rest in it. I think of so many moments I have panicked over these past 5 years. Just kidding. I've never panicked. But if I had, it would have looked like this. No. There were moments that were difficult. I remember one moment we loved where we launched. We're so grateful. We were portable. And I remember it was part of everything. Man, we, like I shared last week, there were a couple of us on the setup team. And we were setting up, and it was just, it was a toll. It was exhausting. It was tiring. And there was no sense of permanence. There was no stake in the ground. I remember, man, I went up and down every road in this region, every single storefront. I had settled. It took Kelly by. We had had some other people look. We had settled on, like, the storefront. We're like, man, this would be great. Let's make it happen. And then the game changed with a contact we had no idea about. And an afternoon, I didn't see it coming. And I'm in the parking lot of that school where we started. And I get this text, and it's about this facility. Are we interested? I didn't have to take much time. I just said, three-letter word with a big exclamation point. Yes. Couldn't have orchestrated it. I did not know the contacts. I did not know the people. But I was resting in God's faithfulness. Resting in the truth of his word. Resting in his word over our life. The same will be true over your life. Some of you are in the midst of prayers, and I want to tell you, man, God's going to send a student across your daughter or your son's path, even this week. You're like, well, where did this turnaround come from? And God's going to say, from me. I've heard your prayers. Thank you for standing in faith. I'm telling you, God's going to move mountains as we rest. And we trust him. Amen. God's going to give us the breakthrough as we rest and we trust him. Thanks for your time this morning. I'm so excited about who we are as a church, of course. But these next 5 years, every step we make, every step we take, it's going to be by faith. Amen. It's going to be trusting Jesus at his word. You know the song, "'Tis So Sweet." To trust in Jesus. It really is the best place for you, for us to live. And I want to encourage you. Some of you today, you came in with some disappointment. You came in, maybe you're a little distracted. Maybe it's been a tough time for you. Maybe the message, you weren't really able to connect as much because this thing is going on, or that thing, or this weight, or this. How's this going to happen? How's this? No. And what can happen is that can flood our faith. I'm a details guy. I like to know how everything's going to happen. Everything's going to work out. Give me the plan. Let's do this. But sometimes all the details aren't what we need. Sometimes we need to stand back and have the Lord open our eyes to see that more are those who are for us than those who are against us. Come on, we'll bless you where you are as we end. God, thank you for today. I thank you, Lord, for the promises that you've given us and the word that you've spoken over our life. I thank you, God, that we will live and not die. I thank you, God, that we will be whole. We won't be broken. I thank you, God, that we will be healed. I thank you, God, that we will have provision. I thank you, God, that salvation will be our portion. We thank you, Lord, for this region in particular, God. And I declare by faith, God, that revival is coming, God, that you are turning hearts that have grown cold back to you. You are setting, as your word says, you are setting the captives free. And so, God, we say, wow, look at what you have done. But, Lord, with faith and expectation, we say, look at where God has called us to. We are a people of faith, God, and we trust you. When you say the word, we will go, Lord. Thank you in each of our lives for the promises you've spoken. And I declare that you would protect that seed of life, God, that promise, that vision, that purpose, that word you've spoken. When anything comes to attack it, God, we thank you that though the weapon be formed, it shall not prosper in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Right now, just with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, I want to give you an opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Just say this prayer with me. Dear God, I need your grace. I need your forgiveness. I recognize that you are the Savior of the world. And right now, I make you my Lord. Have my past, have my present, and I trust you with my future. I repent of all of my sins, God. And I declare by faith, God, that I am saved and I am your child. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Come on, one more time. Can we praise God in this moment for his goodness? Love you, Lord.